Okay, everyone. We had a week off with the Chabura. So according to the Baal HaChabura of Shraga, I had a choice between Daf Tes and Daf Yod. So hopefully we're all...
You mean for the Constitution,
yeah? Yeah. Hopefully we're already all somewhere on Daf Yod Aleph. But so that you know that Daf Yod is a little bit more difficult and had a little bit less accessible topics, certainly with the minimal time I had to prepare, so I took the liberty of going back to Daf Tes. Just in case you don't remember, but we will review. But this is the topic. This would have been the week of Purim. We would have had a Chabura, but we didn't have a Chabura.
We're supposed to finish Daf Yod.
Yod Aleph at the end of the
week. Today we're supposed to start Yod Aleph.
Today start Yod Aleph, right.
Today start Yod Aleph. The Chabura next week we're going to discuss when the rabbis finish is on Daf Yod Aleph.
Okay. So Daf Tes is a really, I have to put it in my top 10 list on Dapim in my limited knowledge of Shas. It's really a great Daf, especially Daf Tes Amud Aleph, definitely on the top 5 Amudim. You have a whole discussion about Tosefes, Yontif, Shvius, Shabbos. And then on the bottom, you have the topic which I want to discuss tonight, which is one of my favorite topics generally, a sugya that comes up 4 places in Shas, and one of the places is our Amud, and that is the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. The more well-known Gemaras that discuss this are in Brachos and Daf Ches, in Psachim Daf Samaches, in Yuma on Daf Pealif, and then you have the 4th Gemara, which is ours, on Daf Tes through Tes Amud Beis. And the Gemara, the context here is the discussion first of Tosefes, where do we have a notion of adding on Mechol al HaKodesh, and after we've discussed now what Rabbi Shmuel, who uses the source, a Pasuk from Yom Kippur, to teach us the general notion of Tosefes, the Gemara then turns to Rabbi Akiva, who used an earlier Pasuk regarding Shabbos / Shemitah of Bechar Shabbatar Tishbos. So the Gemara says, as it typically does, what does Rabbi Akiva do with the Pasuk of Rabbi Shmuel? I'm sorry, I can't keep on turning because my neck's going to break. I'm just letting you know. So feel free to move if you'd like. So the Gemara wants to know, what does Rabbi Akiva do with the Pasuk of Rabbi Shmuel? So this is about 2/3 of the way down on the Amud. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, hi, v'inisem et nafsho seichem v'tisha my oved lay. What does he do with it? He doesn't need it for Tosefes. He knows that already. So the Gemara says, mi b'ylei k'detani Rav Chiya bar Rav Midifti. He uses it for this teaching of Rav Chiya bar Rav Midifti, who said, the Tani Chiya bar Rav Midifti, v'inisem et nafsho seichem v'tisha. Of course, the obvious question which the Gemara asks is, v'chiba misanin? We don't fast on the 9th of Tishrei, v'halo ba'asiri misanin. We fast on the 10th. Elalomar lacha, says the Gemara, kala ochel v'shosa v'chi ma'ala kasuf ki'ilu hu hisana chi v'asiri. If you'll eat on the 9th of Tishrei, the Gemara uses some very, very vivid, if not hyperbolic, exaggerated lashon. It says, if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th. And this is the source, again, the Gemara appears in 3 other places, but we're learning Rosh Hashanah. This is the source for the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, which is otherwise known as my favorite mitzvah. So, anyone else? Oh, man, okay. So, except for unlike a brisket rub, I try not to have a candy in my mouth all day. I try to have a steak or a hamburger and other real food all day. Anyway, so, oh, man, again. So, what I want to do is focus with you on a basic, there is a basic well-known chakira about this mitzvah. What I'd like to do is 2 things. Number one is I'd like to show you that within the 2 approaches, there are actually at least 3 or 4 other approaches. There's various shades on both tzadim of the chakira. And then, time permitting, do 5, 6, 7 different nafkamina that I think some more grounded, some a little more speculative, that I think emerge from this chakira. There are Rishonim, as you can imagine, and pretty much on every one of these Gemaras, most known on the Gemara Yuma or Brachos, but since we're learning Masechas Rosh Hashanah, let's start with the two Rishonim which are discussed in the Shas topic, which actually, though, emerge from Rosh Hashanah. The most important one, at least it's most important in the eyes of the Netziv, of the Rosh Hashanah Mar Makomos is Rashi, and we'll understand that, what I'm referring to as the Shiur progresses. And then there's also an important Ritva on our Gemara as well. So Rashi says the following. Rashi says, if you take a look, the last Rashi on the Amud, Kala Ochel V'Shosa, Tahachik Amar Kra, this is how you have to teach the Pasuk. The Inisem, the Tisha, afflict yourself on the 9th. Achilas Tisha, Ani Kore Inui. Right? Obviously, what the Gemara is darshaning is that the eating is the inui. Usually we think of the fasting as the inui, but that didn't make any sense. We don't fast on the 9th. So, Elamai, you see that the eating is the inui. The cave and the achila.
loss of inui chashiva, since that's the case, called a mafish bachila bashtia tveazif. The more you do, the better. The ha mitka amar be'erev, the fact that the pasuk begins with be'erev al karcha, lo mafira inui de tisha, chikari inui be tisha, achila bashtia didei kari inui. So the Gemara there figures out how to relate to the pasuk related to the ninth, the pasuk related to yud tishrei, and that's the synthesis of the two factors. Eating on the ninth is as if, or it's part of the inui of the kiyum of mitzvah of even fasting on the tenth. Now, before I get to the ritva, and before I try to draw your attention perhaps to what is significant about this Rashi, just to point out the way the Gemara learns, and really, especially the way Rashi tears apart the limud, it really raises the question: is this a mitzvah d'oraisa or not? Is this really a bona fide drasha? So actually, of all places, as far as I can tell, the only place where this is discussed indirectly, let alone directly, is in a Rambam and Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Nedarim. Of all places. The Rambam discusses the following. Let's say you make a neder to always fast on every Monday, or on every Tuesday, or the case may be. So for all intents and purposes, and certainly for the immediate future, it might be innocuous. But eventually, due to the vagaries of the calendar, once eventually it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, it's going to be a Hanukkah, it's going to be a Purim, a Pesach, a Sukkot. So what's the halacha? I already made a fast. I've already been obligated in that fast multiple times already. Clearly the nether has been chal. What happens when I run into the problem of a day where I have a mitzvah to eat? So I don't want to get bogged down in the Nedarim of this, because we're only looking at it for something that's mentioned Agav. Agav, in that discussion, along with the different major days where you could have a conflict, perhaps surprisingly, perhaps expectedly, the Rambam throws in Erev Yom Kippur. And Agav, the Rambam, divides up all these days actually into two groups. The Rambam says there are some days that are Daraisa, and some days that are Darabanan. Somewhat counterintuitively or paradoxically, the Rambam says that those which are Daraisa, you have to fast. Those which are Midarabanan, and if you'll be fasting on it, then there a day of eating the Rabbanan, and it won't look good, and it'll pashter everything, and who knows what other people are going to think of what you're going to do next year, next month, and therefore, the Rambam says, in those days, Yitaka have to fast. Not our topic. What's important is, within this breakdown, the Rambam includes Achilas Erev Yom Kippur in the first category, in the Daraisa category. And when you're learning Chos Kedarim, you're not focused on this factor. But the Kesef Mishnah has his antenna up, and the Kesef Mishnah says, you have to be medactic from the Rambam, near Lecharash, who's over to Erev Yom Kippur, Uberosh Chodesh, which again, not our topic, Ozer Lisanos, Min HaTorah. And where else would you know this from, except for the Drasha, he says, of Inisem. Clearly that seems to be the Pshat in the Rambam. But the Kesef Mishnah himself doesn't like it. Yesh Letmoa al Erev Yom Kippur, it's impossible. To Otum Mishum Drasha, to be Inisem. Asmachta Ba'alma. He says, no, this is not a bona fide drasha. I mean, give me a break. Kol ochel, you really fasted on 2 days. I mean, what do you take? The whole thing is an asmachta. It's not for real. And then he says, einachinami. Yeshlomot einachinami, einan asur nel mir rabbanan. He says, the Kesvishan at least is clear and definitive. In his opinion, this mitzvah of eating is only mir rabbanan. So if it's mir rabbanan, he asks Kasher on himself, so how come you would fast on those days? So he has an answer in Mitam Hilchos Nedarim, not our issue. So it's hard to be machria, but you have the pashas of the Rambam in one direction, and the Kesef Mishnah who denies it. And again, it's good. The Rambam does not say eating on Yom Kippur is d'oraisa. He lumped it together with the chumrah that you would fast. The Kesef Mishnah said denies. No, that's not what the Rambam meant. Even though it's the Rabbanan, there's another reason why you would fast there. So the simple understanding of the Rambam is it is d'oraisa. The Kesef Mishnah denies it. So that's, if you will, housekeeping. That's a detail, a background. But the real issue, which is, you know, the one that I say I want to get to the heart of the matter, is what is the purpose of this? What is the Geter Hadin? And again, how do we understand the nature of such a attractive but surprising halacha? You know? So what is important about the Rashi here is what Rashi doesn't say. What reason does Rashi give? And the answer, in essence, is no reason. He states, as a matter of fact, that eating is somehow kiyum of inui. Hard to believe, but, you know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. But other than that, he doesn't tell you what the purpose is or why. That is striking because Rashi in other places, and certainly other Rishonim, even in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, do give reasons. Keep that in the back of your mind. We're going to get to the Netziv in his commentary on the Shiltos and the Hamek Shela, the Netziv makes a big deal out of this non-explanation of Rashi. So hold that for a moment. But Taka, we don't have an explanation for Rashi. So what explanations might there be? So there really are larger discussion Rishonim, and if I wasn't given Chabur Masechta Rosh Hashanah, I probably wouldn't start with the Ritva here. But the Chabur Ar Masechta, so I'll mention to you at first the Ritva, and then we'll see the other Mefarshim. The Ritva quotes two explanations. The first explanation that the Ritva gives, again, it's here in our Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. The first explanation that the Ritva gives is Kadesh Yuchal His Anos Yafa V'Lo Yava Lidei D'Chias Inu Yom Kippur. So you should be strong and eat. The same reason, intuitively, we all eat, so that we should be strong and be able to have a good fast. And then now that we've gotten frum, no one says anyone have an easy fast, everyone says they have a meaningful fast. So I thought that's all, you know, I'm a Berdichever, I want to be Matzik the old Minog. If you'll be having an easy fast, then you can concentrate on having a meaningful fast. If you're starving with a caffeine withdrawal headache, you're probably not going to have the most meaningful fast. You just have a survival fast. So avoid all that. Eat, be strong, drink a lot of water, which is, what, you know, nowadays that's the biggest key of, if you ask the doctors, I think they tell you to drink lots of water and get rid of the salts and other things out of your system. That could be the biggest thing to help you have a successful fast. That's the first explanation of the Ritva. Then the Ritva says another explanation in which he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. We're going to get back to Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is actually in the Shari Tshuva.
So that's Ke'ilu? Since you're doing it.
You know, he doesn't explain the Lashon. He doesn't explain the Lashon. What I would say the Lashon, hold, when I get back to seeing the other Rishonim and trying to structure it, I'll tell you what I think, how he reads that into the Lashon. But he does not explain it. It'll be my speculation. The second explanation that he suggests comes from Rabbeinu Yonah. This is a halachic part of the Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva. And Rabbeinu Yonah actually is perhaps the most famous of all the Rishonim, even though he's not on the Gemara, because he lists three different reasons. One of the three is the second one that the Ritva suggests. And what is that? A fascinating one. Shehu kedei laharos, ki kadosh hayom lelokeinu, v'roi l'echol bo, mamtakim kemo b'Rosh Hashanah. Asigeres ha-kosefu, l'frosh bo, mitavos gufnius, shenihi ikinim alochim kemo shenemar v'medrash. You hear what the Rabbeinu Yonah said? Me'ikar hadin, yom kippur is a yontif. Like all yomim tovim, you should eat. Like Rosh Hashanah in particular, it should be a happy and celebratory day. It's an allusion to the pasuk in Nehemiah about you should have, you know, eat sweets and drink delicious things on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's Mikra Din. Elamai, what can we do? Us? It's another pasuk that says you have to fast. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, says Ritzah, you know how we figure it out? We have our cake and eat it too, pun intended. We eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And that's Ilu, like we're eating for the Yontif of Yom Kippur, which willy-nilly we just simply have our hands tied. We can't eat on Yom Kippur. These are the two explanations in the Ritva. So to give you the broader perspective, Rashi in Masechta Brachos and the Rosh in Yuma both also agree with this first opinion in the Ritva. The purpose is to be strong, be satiated, have an easier fast. I'll call that 1A. What do I mean by 1A? Here's where I'll try to address your question, at least as far as I can gather, whether it's Ritva or Rashi or whoever. 1A, by which I mean to say everyone in Group A, and we're going to see, as I said, shades in a second, see the mitzvah, the Rabbanan, the Raisa, of eating on Erev Yom Kippur as a subservient, facilitative process to fasting. The Iker is fasting on Yom Kippur. The mitzvah, and again, it's really what I would, the better, more precise way to say, it's an adjunct. It's not a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, it's an adjunct to the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. To help me better, and I'm calling this 1A because I just say this to me is the most pure of those approaches. We're going to see variations of it. But this is to make it the most intuitive and it's the most pure sense of that. It's an adjunct to help me. I think that's what the pshat is. This is my own speculation because none of the Rishonim say it. This is how I understood, again, other than just the exaggerated excitement, if you will, of the Lashon of the Gemara, is Ki'ilu Hisana Chi Vasiri. It's not saying you fast on the ninth day, because it's impossible. But at least maybe the next approach will have a little bit of that. But basically I think at least one of these were shown, and what it's saying is because it's to help it enabled, you get a, you know, it's like the person, you know, I don't know, Lahavdil, it's like, you know, every year the guy who like runs for a lot of yards as a running back, he buys like fancy washes for the offensive linemen, and he wins the big award. It's his way of saying, it's a little bit your award. And they had to give me the award, I'm the running back, but I couldn't have done it without you. So it's really more saying, you couldn't do the Inui of Asiri if you didn't have the Achila of Chi. And then that's, and to that extent, it's Kilu Hisana Chi Va Asiri.
Yeah, the, that's, saying, the other way of saying is maybe that they're too parallel, as opposed to subservient. Maybe the 2 days.
What would be the purpose parallel. Of? So what would be the purpose?
That'd be a different chant, though.
You're saying that not in this Rashi, not in this Ritz,
right?
Not
right,
in the Rashi.
Right. Another, if you're trying to clarify the Kira.
Good. Well, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
The idea of it being like a Hakana.
Mm-hmm. That's along the short. That's so cut off in my adjunct. Yes. It's a Hakana.
Prerequisite.
Do you have any we can go? Yeah.
There are a lot of mitzvahs like that. None of them have this kind of
Hechsher. There we go.
But like, you know, no one says building a sukkah.
I'll give you a better.
Eating it.
I'll do better than you. Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Shabbos or B'Tamuz. Mestama we're going to eat, but there's no mitzvah to eat then. The answer is Einachanami. According to these Rishonim, it's perfect. Logically, this would be nothing more than a hachana or a hechsher, which is usually a nice thing, and smart and prudent, but not a mitzvah. Kamash malon, this posuk that elevates this hachana into a mitzvah. Maybe it's a mitzvah rabbanon, maybe it's a daraisa, but this drasha or asmasa, which elevated this. And you'll ask me one step further, why this one? So I'll tell you one of two reasons, which to some extent may depend on if it's daraisa. If it's daraisa, I have an easy answer. I don't know. That's a. If it's the Rabbanon, or even if it's the Raisa, and I want to play the Tamim Mitzvot game, so you'll say, this is the one fastest Raisa. I need to give you how hard is this to explain why Yom Kippur should be unique? You know what I mean? If I didn't make it through a meaningful Tisha B'Av, the overwhelming majority of Jews, probably for many centuries, have not had meaningful Tisha B'Av, whether or not they were fat, hungry, or not. Tisha B'Av, you know, but okay, no, they're still good Jews. But you gotta have a meaning. That's not to prepare for the fast.
Maybe no.
Give me a shear in the summer. Mashiach doesn't come on several seconds, he'll prove it to me. Until then,
no, but
you'll
make it. You have to do it.
Yeah, you have to have an egg and a piece of bread. That's not to prepare for a fast.
It's a spiritual fast.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so Mike, that's what I'll call 1A. What I found a number of years ago, which is fascinating, is a Shiboli Haleket and an Aruch HaShulchan, which are like the evil twin of this approach. They also hold the Tachana, but it's mamish pofaket. Not to make it easier for you, but to make it harder for you.
Right.
The Shiboli Haleket's Lashon is as follows. Yesh lomar shemivnei sheba'ochel yofa b'erev Yom Kippur, of Yom Kippurim mis'ane koshalo inu yoser. On a full stomach, it'll be harder. The Aruch HaShulchan is a little bit clearer, a little bit easier to understand. He says, I was going to say that. Like, he doesn't. We'll see if that's in our Rashi. Yes, but the way the Aruch HaShulchan explains it, the Aruch HaShulchan gives you a little bit of a GI's explanation. You know how the digestive system works. Says Aruch HaShulchan, Hakochos Hachazakim Yoter Lisbol Hatainis Kishoch Mikodem. In Ekonami, Taka, you're going to have more protein, more energy, more. You're going to be stronger. Ela Ditzaro Meruba. Mehahipuch Hapit Ami. Is that that? What a fascinating Aruch HaShulchan.
It would be more fascinating if it were true. I mean, have you ever had this expect?
On a full stomach? Yeah, Kol Nidre, people are very uncomfortable. It's not true the next day. At least my personal gastronomical experience. Hi, my name is David. I want to share with you my private life story. On Kol Nidre, my experience, and looking out at the tzibur that's usually asleep, it confirms it. Kol Nidre is usually harmed by the fact that people overeat. They may have more strength, certainly potentially, but they're overstuffed and it's uncomfortable. Absolutely uncomfortable.
The point is, who's the harder to fast Yom Kippur? Somebody who eats a lot on a regular basis or somebody who doesn't eat a lot on a regular basis?
Right, but the difference is, I guess that's true. Right.
You know, so that's
right, that's also true, right? That's a good point.
When I eat late at night, sometimes I'm very hungry in the morning.
I'm not sure why that's connected, but I was going to agree with you though, notwithstanding our scientists, but I was going to agree with you is that we know, as everyone always teaches you, like the stomach is also a muscle,
And the more you eat, the wider it gets and the more it expects. If someone were to say, instead of going on a caffeine withdrawal diet for Elul, they're going to say, I'm going to start eating less and less and less, their fast would definitely be easier, I think.
Certainly.
They might be weaker, but they'd be in less, they had less hunger. Less hunger pangs. Anyway, I don't want to get hung up on the metzius of this. Lamaisa, this is what I would call 1B. In other words, it's still a hachana. It's still a hachana. It's an adjunct. But here, it's to help create the inuin. Is that what Rashi means? He doesn't say it, but it certainly is suggestive in his language of inuin.
I think the concept from the past is all about the Kneva Sierra. There was some opinion that talks like you do that like at the end of Yom Kippur to make it worse on
Rashi you. Says it. Rashi Jem says it.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Now, before we get to the whole other approach, so what about our Rashi? Rashi here, again, so I don't know if you want to call it a stira, who knows. How do you understand our Rashi with the Rashi I just mentioned of Brachos? So I saw that Rav Aaron Kahn, who is one of the Rebbeim at YU, he has an article in what's called the Beit Yosef Shaul, which was the one that was known as the Gross Kol Elyon, and he used to put out this journal. He was Rosh Kol El. So he has a long piece on this topic. So he quoted from the Rav, who felt that this Rashi in Rosh Hashanah is not a big deal. It should be read in light of the Rashi and Brachos. And don't make a big deal about this Rashi. However, I saw, and I alluded to before, that the Netziv in the Hamek Shela does. Now the Netziv does not, it's a little bit Ikra Chosim and a Sefer. He doesn't give you a full explanation. But one thing for sure is, he contrasts the two. He contrasts the whole approach of Hachal. He doesn't talk about it as a stira, so to speak, and how does Rashi say both? That he doesn't get into. But he clearly talks about the approach of the Rosh and the Ritva, and we now know is also Rashi and Brachos, that it's a Hachana, a Hechsher, an adjunct, all the words. And then he adds the Netziv and the Hamek Shela, in parentheses, but he throws it in. Ach Loshen Rashi v'Rosh Hashanah is different. Mashma Zalomi Zehatam. That it's not to be a hachana, el achila atma mitzvah. It's a mitzvah per se. Now, why is it a mitzvah per se? Could be, so far we've only seen one possibility, could be the Rabbeinu Yonah of Yontif. The Netziv doesn't speculate. But he does make a big deal, if you will, out of this Rashi, and he does think that it is a different approach than Brachos, and that it is an independent mitzvah, an independent kiyum. Now, I said that we've already seen the one opinion in Rabbeinu Yonah, quoted by the Ritva. I mentioned to you that there's two others. One other that the Rabbeinu Yonah mentions is a hachana latzom. Rabbeinu Yonah falls into line with everybody else. Also, one of his explanations is it's also hachana. The third explanation of Rabbeinu Yonah is that it is reflecting a simcha of the upcoming kapara. Not that Yom Kippur has a din suda like other Yom Tovim, which is his other approach. Rather, Rabbeinu Yonah says we're excited about the upcoming kafar. I'll read you the lashon of this one. It's five words. Ki hare simchaso v'higia zman kaparoso. It's poetic. He rhymes it. Ki hare simchaso v'higia zman kaparoso. And this way we get rid of, there's no daiga, there's no more worries. We show that we're confident. Of course, it's the famous Yerushalmi that speaks about the fact that other nations, when they go to Din, they're black and they're with ashes, and we go white and confident, and then the symbolism carries through to Sukkot, where we hold our Dalet Minim. It's like a victory trophy that we've been Yatza Zakai B'Din. But that confident feeling, years ago, I gave a shiur, I think it was the first year I was in the shiur, in the shul, that the Yom Yin we had in the middle of Elul, that the mitzvah or the discussion of eating on Rosh Hashanah, and that there are those who hold there's a mitzvah in Rosh Hashanah. So why? So some say, Mom, it's just parallel to this discussion. Some say the mitzvah is because Rosh Hashanah is a yontif. But others say, I saw that there was an approach that said, Enechanami, it's a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah like there's a mitzvah to eat on Pesach and on Shavuos and Sukkot. It's got nothing to do with yontif. Rosh Hashanah is different. But we're eating to show we're excited and we're confident in the din. Mamash would be a parallel to this Rabbeinu Yonah. So again, but we can't eat on Yom Kippur, so we eat on Erev Yom Kippur to show our excitement for the din. Now, what I want to point out is that of these two approaches in Rabbeinu Yonah, not the Hachana one, which is already redundant, the other two approaches, I think they are fundamentally dissimilar to everything we've seen, and Eli was alluding to it before, and Rashi was kind of the bridge, our Rashi, other than let you learn it in light of the Brachos one, but the way the Netziv understood it is an independent kiyum, that's the kind of the bridge. We have the Hachana on one extreme, variations of that with the Hachana. Then we have the independent one, but we don't know what that's for. And then we have these other approaches, which are also, I would say, fundamentally disagreeing with the first approach, because these also see an independent kiyum eating on Erev Yom Kippur. The most pure way of seeing that, the best way, is the thing which we already saw from the Ritva in Rav Yonah, which is the idea that it is a yontif. So if there's a yontif of Yom Kippur, and we have to eat, so then that is the most, you see something, you know, there's an independent significance to the Maisa Achila. It's got nothing to do with the fast, Adarabba, and they say it's a foil to the fast. The other approach here about excitement for Kapara, I don't know if it's as, I'm not sure if there's a difference, there might be some subtle differences, but fundamentally, these two approaches in Rabbeinu Yonah agree and disagree with the third approach of Rabbeinu Yonah, because as opposed to the third who holds just the Hefter, these two approaches see it as something independent. And just to round out, if you will, a final approach, also seeing it as independent, I guess you tell me if you think this is independent or an adjunct, also kind of a hybrid, and that is in the Masorah Journal, I saw that they quoted from Rav Soloveitchik, where he said that it is basically so that you should have an what he calls, which is from another, what he borrowed from another place in Halacha, a shvisa hanikeres. You have to eat. Okay, so well, now it's a harikadim, but it was originally in Masorah. You do it so there's a contrast. If I'm not eating on Yom Kippur, no, maybe I'm not hungry, maybe my stomach hurts, maybe I'm a low eater, maybe I just started a diet. So we often in Halacha want to create the contrast so that it'll be clear that the reason I'm doing something is for halachic reasons and not for just some whatever reason. So we dafke eat to create that contrast, the black and white, and that is, so to speak, as a more, in some sense, there's an independent value to that. But, I don't know, I'm leaning towards, if you will, not there's any nafkamina where I place things in my mind, but maybe more, it's a more lumdish version, but it's also hachana. Namely, it serves the needs of the fast. Unlike the first approach, which is very practical, make sure I'm either feeling very good or feeling very bad. This is a more fundamental, principled approach, but it's still serving the needs. It makes it a more meaningful fast. And that's, it's not hard, not easy, meaningful.
Where else do we do that?
What's another example? Or I go the next day, I used to go, I've spoken about this publicly, you've heard me, Krispy Kreme. All of us, all. Yes, last year was a very difficult year for me already. What's another example?
Working 6 days a week?
Nah. I have to think about it.
It
could be, I don't remember. I don't have it in my notes. So we have about 10 minutes left. Let me just give you a few of the nafkaminas which the poskim discuss, and I think that will, I hope, crystallize the issue. So I mentioned right at the outset, is this the Daraisa or the Rabbanon? Again, two dayots maybe, or two understandings of the Rambam. So I didn't see any other Achronim discuss it, but Rav Soloveitchik in that piece by Rav Kahn, he thought that that might be dependent on this as well. Namely, to whatever extent you see it as a din b'fnei atmo, so that din may be only a derabanan. However, he said, and this I think is Rav Soloveitchik l'shitaso, you'll see what I mean in a second, if you see it as a hachana, so even though usually we think of hachanas as being weaker, but here he says if fasting is a daraisa, so maybe the hachana for fasting is a daraisa. Now I would say that only makes sense or salvagical shitaso, because his approach to hachana is not the very pragmatic hechsher type approach of Rashi and the Ramba, the Rosh and the Ritva. His is what I call the fundamental hachana, if you will, or the principled, make it shvisa hanikeres and inoy hanikeres. Ooh, so if that's the case, it's not so much a hachana as it's part of the kiyum. If the kiyum is a fasting is a raisa and my eating enhances that kiyum, so then that's also the raisa. I would, if you took Rav Soloveitchik himself out of the mix, you look at the, and frankly, unless people read the Masorah or Hari Kedem, and most other places you'll hear this sugya discussed or read about, no one knows about that approach. They speak about variations of the two broader approaches. So I would suggest that in that more basic, broader hakira, you might have come to the opposite conclusion of Soloveitchik. That to whatever extent you hold it's an independent kiyum, again, a little, to some extent it's a technical question and not a lomdasha question. Do you view this as an ashmachta or a rasha gemura? It's impossible for me to resolve that. I don't know. The Kasabishna just states it's only an ashmachta. Who told the Kasabishna? And I didn't do enough research to see if anyone else discussed it, but I don't remember anyone else discussing it. I can't tell you for sure, but you know, so I have to just put that off to the side. I can't be machriya that. But to the extent that it's an open question, or to the extent that it's definitely a real drasha, so if you hold it's an independent kiyum, it's an independent kiyum with a bona fide drasha, why wouldn't it be daraisa? But if all it is just a stepson, if you will, a subservient texture to the mitzvah of fasting, so then you might actually come to the opposite conclusion of Soloveitchik and hold that really that makes it only a darabonin. But, again, it's possible that it's not really connected, but if it is, I think it would be under one of these two ways. I'll give you some more, I think, clear and demonstrable as well. The Nitziv discusses the issue of bracha, right? No one says you make a bracha. The shaila is why. So the Nitziv just thinks that this is a proof that it's a hachana. Because we know that we don't usually make a bracha on hachana. Now, you could argue, but usually hachana is not a mitzvah. But he says, again, the more you downgrade its importance, which if you see it only as a hachana, in the purest sense, to make it harder, to make it easier, then it's understood why that would not have a bracha. That's not the answer they give, though. That could be a different approach. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, that could be.
Even if you do finish the fast, call the homer, you don't make a brach on fasting, so it would seem like.
Right, that's also possible, right?
Especially you don't make a brach on shutting on the bris.
Right, that's right. That's the famous Bala Amor. I'm Sachem, right? So, although the Rambam does say that you would, but the Bala Amor is sort of what we accept, right? Obviously, the more you held it was a kiyum b'fnei atzmo, the more you would want to say that there's a bracha, or you'd have to give some other explanation why there is no bracha. But again, the easiest understanding that there's no bracha is clearly what the Nitziv says, which is if it's just a hachana, then it makes the easiest sense. Perhaps two or three of the most famous explanations or nafkaminas are the ones that we'll end the shir with. And these are the ones that are discussed and debated to some extent by some of the Gedolei Achronim. So, number one, what if you have somebody who already went to the rabbi and already got his get out of fasting card? He's a chola. Now, I always tell people, you should hope you can fast. It may be easier for you on Yom Kippur, but if you're not fasting on Yom Kippur, in general, you're in a bad place. I tell this to the pregnant women all the time. You know, when they're disappointed, I tell them to have to fast. So this is the good news, because if I told you you didn't have to fast, that means there's some complication with your pregnancy. So the good news is when you have to fast. But let's say someone, it's not a question of good and bad, the Matthias is the Matthias. Someone's ill, the Rav tells them, the doctor tells them, you're not going to fast. So do they have a mitzvah, mitchila, of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? So the Nitziv raises this as well. And the Nitziv, Lashitaso, since he seems to be a fan of the Sachana, again, he mentions that he thinks Rashi and Armasechta and Roshon is different, but he as a whole accepts the Hachana approach. He says, well, the whole purpose is a Hachana for fasting, and I'm not going to fast. Rightfully so, the doctor and the rabbi told me not to. So then why should I have a mitzvah to eat? It doesn't make any sense. If the purpose was to eat to make it harder, it would also make no sense. The Ksav Sofer has a tshuva. The Ksav Sofer, all hidden quotes. It's the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva, where he says the exact same analysis. So I don't know if that's a shaila. Is he putter from all inoy the chola, or just putter from the inoy that would be dangerous to him? So this type of inoy, which is not dangerous to him, maybe he should have to eat. And again, to the extent that it's an independent chiyuv, so then who cares that you're not fasting? And in fact, the Stechemid quotes those who hold that even a chola who knows he's not going to fast must eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And there's two reasons that are given. One is Shema Yavri. So now he's not doing well, but I don't know. Right? We say Meheri Yavon HaMikdash, Shema Refuah Shalema, B'Mehera. He should have a complete Refuah Shalema. Maybe he'll feel better, and then he'll feel better in time to fast. So you better eat. You never know. Right? That's the real optimistic approach. But the other approach, which is what we just mentioned, you're right, whether it's Rashi or these other approaches in Rabbeinu Yonah, if you hold this at Din B'Fnei Atzmo, then what's the difference if I can't fast? I have a chance to do this kiyum. Now again, according to Soloveitchik, it would also make no sense, because you're not making any fasting better. But again, according to the two approaches in Rabbeinu Yonah, and whatever Rashi may mean, which may be like one of those Rabbeinu Yonahs, then even if you're not going to fast, you should still eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The Nitziv then turns around and asks the opposite. This is all in the piece of Hamek Sheva. He says, what about the opposite? What if you have a guy who says, I am so strong and in such good shape, I don't need to fast. I need to eat, excuse me. I can fast without eating. I'm tough, I'm strong. You should have seen me. You know, when I was younger, I could throw a baseball. You know, those guys, you know, they're always talking about how they're... So this guy, he has not given up the glory of youth. He's still strong, and he's still a bull bond, and I don't have to fast. So says the Nitziv, Lashitaso, and Echanami. You don't have to eat, and there's no chiyuv for you to eat. The whole purpose is to eat, is make sure you can fast. Now, again, if you don't get it right, then you'll have messed up two things. But you have a right to be confident in yourself. If you don't think you need to, then don't eat. Fine, because hey, you didn't do anything wrong. It's not a chiyuv to eat, it's just good advice. It's mitzvah advice, but it's all good. If you don't eat it, you don't eat it. Again, if you hold it an independent chiyuv, Rashi in 2 days in Rabbeinu Yonah, so then who cares if you don't need it to fast? There's still a mitzvah to be excited about the kapara. There's still a yontif of Yom Kippur. So you should still eat. And perhaps, the most famous of discussions on this sugya is in a tshuva of Rabbi Kiv Eger. In a lot of pieces, they start with this Rabbi Kiv Eger. Rabbi Kiv Eger in Siman Tezayin discusses the chiyuv of Nashim. Are women obligated in the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim or not? And says Rabbi Kiv Eger, in essence, if you unpackage it, basically it's Tali and Archakira. I'm giving you the chicken McNugget version of Rabbi Kiv, just the meat, without the bones and gristles. But if you go through it and you put out all the side points and the difficulty, in the end of the day, you boil it down, this is what Rabbi Kiv Eger says. He says, listen, if it's a din b'fnei atzmo, then they're putter. Because that din b'fnei atzmo is a mitzvah shman grama. Clearly, it's only on the 9th of Tishrei. That's a mitzvah shman grama. And there's no reason to mechayev them. There's no extra pasuk that tells us, oh, they're chayev in this. Right? If they're going to be chayev in a mitzvah shman grama, there has to be a limud for that. We have exceptions to the rule, but they have to have basis. Here, there's no basis. So mistame it's putter. But if it's just a hachana to make the fast easier, so the sister chayev in the fasting, mistame they should be chayev in the preparation. Lamasham adoma a little bit. Like Zohar v'Shamor. If two things go together, so they have to go, and according to the Rav, for sure they should be chayiv, because it gives them their inui or their shvisa, hani keres. The ksav sofer in a tshuva assumes that they're chayiv. And again, exactly in line of the thinking of Rabbi Kiv Eger, he quotes the Rashi and Brachos, that the whole purpose of eating is to prepare for the fast, so women have to fast. They're also chayiv. Rabbi Kiv Eger, has a tzad not yet, because that's based on Rabbeinu Yonah and maybe the Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, that it's a din b'fnei atzmo. Just one last thing which I found, which I think is also potentially interesting, and this relates to the joke I made. It wasn't really funny, but it was a lame attempt at a joke at the beginning of the year about the Brisker Rav, who's the story they say about him is that he spent the whole day with.
What do you eat?
Yes, yes. So they say that the Brisker Rav, he had a candy in his mouth.
Raisins,
what they say?
Which one, Shulay Diskin or the Brisker?
The Ravel.
Uh huh, sorry.
Okay, he had raisins, and this one had candies. So Shaila, is anything the kiyum? Is anything on the menu for this mitzvah? Or might there be a requirement? Now, why might there be a requirement? So think about it for a second. We have other days where there's a chiyuv to eat. But the other days where there's a chiyuv to eat, there is very, very often a chiyuv of the diet, of the menu. Namely, sometimes there's an issue of meat, and very often there's an issue of hamotzi. So is there an inyan of having a formal suda on Erev Yom Kippur? Or is it just eating candy all day? You know, certain people, you know, like going back to like the days like studying for finals, you know, soda and Mike and Ike's or something. I mean, you know, that's to get you through the day. You know, maybe that would be, everyone. Sorry, that didn't work for you?
Bad memory.
Okay, so it did work for you. Just the finals are the bad memories, not the Mike and Ike's.
No, he didn't do that exclusively. It's not Shaiach eat it the whole day. He's bread the whole day. He did that in addition to.
Uh-huh. Okay, but the child is there a chiyuv? Is there a chiyuv?
Like
very good, very good. So before we speculate, I'll just tell you, I looked and looked and looked, and I only found this in one little place, which is in the Mata Ephraim, which we know is a classical work on the halacha, on the Zinyanim of Chodesh Tishrei. And the Mata Ephraim has been published with numerous commentaries over the years. Two of the most famous ones are the Elif HaMagen and the Gitzei HaMata. So the lashon of the Mata Ephraim is there's a mitzvah to eat ula harbos b'seuda. That's the lashon of the Mata Ephraim. So the nosei kalim, if you will, argue what does he mean? The Ketzei HaMata says riboy suda mitzvah, but mavur shein tzorach lechol pastafka. It means eat a lot. It doesn't mean suda in a halachic sense. It means eat a lot. The more you eat, the more, in this case, the merrier. The more you eat, the better. However, the Elif HaMagen says yesh lahachmir lechol pas. Tafka. So, depending on how you understand, the best would seem, again, you could argue that maybe that's most filling and, you know, that's his version of a prep, you know, carbs to prepare for the fast. I don't know. But it's certainly possible that logically it would fit into Archakira as Eli anticipated. The more you see it as a hachana, the more it probably shouldn't make a difference what you eat. Whatever works better for you, okay, Gazun, you should eat that. But if you see it as a, especially like that Shita Rabbeinu and the Ritva on our Gemara, that Yom Kippur is a yontif and we have to eat, but Torah is yontif, then maybe she even have to have Basar, but you certainly have to have Hamotzi.
I think some go to the extreme to say Mishnah.
Okay, if you could find that for me, I'm not joking. I've never found that. I would like, for the folder, I'd like to know that, but I have not seen that. So that would be, again, another example where how you fulfill the mitzvah. We've seen different nafkaminas of who's obligated, when are you obligated, in this case, now finally, how do you fulfill the mitzvah, may be dependent on these various approaches. Okay? Shekayach. I can tell